Hare Krishna. So yesterday we started the topic of the progression of spiritual development. What are the processes which are taking place in the course of our sadhana, in the course of our association with devotees? And the better we know these processes, the better we are equipped to overcome certain problems which will be there. Prabhupada, on a number of occasions, he said that difficulties will be there. They will be there. There's no doubt about it. They may come in different shapes and forms, but ultimately we will have to meet with some difficulties or problems on the way of our spiritual journey. And yesterday we were speaking about the two types of Shraddha, or faith. One is perfectly formed Shastriya Shraddha. And basically it means, according to Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is that one understands very clearly Shastra Yukti, or logic of Shastra. One very clearly understands the coherence of Shastra. He knows the Samanvaya, he knows how Shastra is actually explaining the truth, and he has no doubt about it. And he understands that there is a complete vision which is given by Shastra, and this vision corresponds to the truth which we intuitively feel within ourselves. And basically such person who has this strong Shastriya Shraddha, he may dispel his own doubts which will appear in the course of our social interaction. The doubts will be there. Actually, Srila Jiva Goswami says that you clarify all the doubts only when you see Krishna face to face. Before that, there will be some doubts, some misgivings, some problems will be there. But when you see Krishna face to face, yeah, that's it. But it will take some time. So... So this perfectly formed Shastriya Shraddha, which you know, has a very strong bone of logic, coherent and very complete, so to speak, it's rare. Usually we have some sort of a mixture. Of course, any description means little generalization. So when we say Shastriya Shraddha, very rarely we see a complete thing. And when we say Laukika Shraddha, it's usually in reality it's some sort of a mixture. So Laukika Shraddha is a starting point. Usually, in the beginning, the faith has a very strong conventional element in it, having something to do with the society of the devotees, with the social pressure which we experience dealing with the devotees, and so on and so forth. So one misunderstanding could be is that Laukika Shraddha is bad. It's necessary, it's evil. No, that was not the point. Laukika Shraddha is a good starting point. And moreover, we have to understand that we have this element of Laukika Shraddha, every one of us has. The problem with Laukika Shraddha is that once somebody gets this Shraddha, especially if it's strong Shraddha, strong conventional faith, without deep understanding why we're doing, for what we're doing, what is the goal. Sometimes people, you know, feel very comfortable in this sort of situation, and they don't move from this beginning platform of Shraddha of faith, which is good starting point, but they don't move further. The starting point becomes ending point. And in this way we get so many religious fanatics, so many people who are causing problems for themselves and for everyone else. It's interesting, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is very clear about it. He says that for the neophyte, the face is not really face, it's Shraddhabhas. It's a shadow of a face. He says in Jiva Dharma, the word Shraddha is used here. Here means in the famous verse from 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where there is a description of Kanishta Adhikari. Archayeva Haraye. The word Shraddha is used here, actually means Shraddha Abhas. In other words, in the beginning stages, we have not Shraddha, Shraddha Abhas. Because Shraddha in worshipping the deity of Krishna without simultaneous worship of Krishna Bhaktas is but an Abhas of real Shraddha, certainly not Shraddha proper. Therefore, this Shraddha Abhas is either chaya or pratibimba of real Shraddha, either the shadow or reflection of real Shraddha. Being cultivated merely as a part of a custom or tradition. As usually we know this conventional Shraddha, it's just traditional Shraddha. We're born in this society, we're fine with this society, we like this particular sort of society, and we're here, and we not necessarily understand why we're here, what is the highest goal of this. This level of Shraddha is not a prakriti Shraddha. It's not spiritual Shraddha. It's material. And therefore, the beginning stage of devotional service is called prakrita bhakta. It's material. Our understanding is material. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this level of Shraddha is not a prakrita Shraddha, transcendental phase, forming a part of ananya bhakti, forming a part of pure devotional service. So, coming back to what I said yesterday, I wanted also, again, to list two, three more very important lakshanas or signs of by which we can distinguish what kind of Shraddha we're running on. Because Shraddha is actually, faith is actually the petrol for our spiritual journey. And if we exhaust it, we will stop somewhere on the way. Shraddha is very important. And the better it is, the higher it is, the smoother, if instead of good petrol, we get some diesel or whatever. So there will be a lot of smoke and unpleasant kind of stuff in our journey. So that's what we are talking about the quality of the fuel for our spiritual life, for our spiritual practices. And therefore, coming from this statement of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there is a next very important sign of proper Shraddha. And again, Srila Jiva Goswami mentions it in Bhakti Sandarbha. He says that if you have proper Shraddha, you don't feel the need to offend other devotees. Whereas if your Shraddha is Lokika, for sure you will, in your madness of pride, try to drag down some other devotees by finding faults in them. Srila Jiva Goswami specifically says, in that state, while constantly engaged in the means to bring about one's goal. In other words, if this is a characteristic of real Shraddha, which I spoke yesterday, it's very conscious, and one always remembers about the higher goal, not becomes mechanical forgetting the goal. So Srila Jiva Goswami says, in this state, while constantly engaged in the means to bring about one's goal, there is absolutely no trace of conduct that is plagued with defects like duplicity or desire of honor. Consequently, one does not consciously commit offenses such as disrespecting great devotees, because such offenses are diametrically opposed to the revelation of the Lord in the heart. So this offensive sort of mentality or desire to drag everyone down, it's also a very important sign of improper faith. Whereas, and we know, if somebody has this conventional faith, or, you know, faith which is not coming from my internal conviction, I always look at others. He's doing wrong, and he's doing wrong, and she's doing wrong. I'm not looking at myself. I'm not interested in achieving goals. I'm interested that others would achieve goal. I will point their faults. You know, there was a nice story in Prabhupada's life. Once Achyutananda came into his room in a very militant sort of a spirit. And Achyutananda started saying, you know, Prabhupada, what's happening in our movement? In the Second World War, the Germans and Japanese were defeated, but now they're taking over our movement. And he meant Hansa Dutta, who was German, and this Sonia Toyota, who was Japanese. And they were sort of a key persons at that time of ISKCON. And Prabhupada, he became very, very sober, seeing this attitude. And then he said very significant thing. He said, why are you always looking at others? Why are you not looking in your own heart? What is going there? You know, because he started saying, you know, they're doing this wrong and that wrong and this wrong, as we know. You know, Prabhupada said, why? Why? And the reason, the answer to this very important question is simple. You know, because I'm forgetting the real goal. And therefore I feel psychologically the need to drag everyone down and to find faults and to offend others. And I'm more interested in their advancement than in my own advancement, so to speak. You know, I'm okay. That's an attitude of Laukika Shraddha. I'm okay, I'm fine. Everyone else is not fine, but as far as I'm concerned, everything is fine. So, again, very close to this is another sign, or very close, almost identical, but still a little different description is there. This superiority complex is a very important and very prominent characteristic of this Laukika Shraddha. People, why do people have such a strong tendency to follow some authority blindly, or to join some religious group or whatever group is there? It's a very strong tendency in human society, because it gives them a lot of advantages, so to speak, psychological advantages. The feeling that I'm right, it's a great advantage, you know. The feeling that, you know, my future is bright. If you believe in some dogma, it gives you a lot of advantages. It makes your life easier. Really. So, moreover, you feel yourself superior. I know the truth. I am the chosen one. I am a very special one. Isn't it? It feels good, isn't it? You know, we're all very special ones. You know, And Krishna even says this, you know, out of many, many thousands of people, hardly one. Wow, that's me. Isn't it cool? It's fine. It's nice. It feels good. So it gives you really self-confidence in a sense. And it gives you a very false sort of feeling that I know the answers to all the questions. I know. From now on, I know. So this sort of superiority is also a sign of something of not very properly formed face. Because the real face makes one humble. It doesn't bring you inferiority complex. We're not talking about this, but it definitely doesn't give you this this sort of feeling that I'm better than everyone else. And few more things I will say about this to come to the next part of my presentation. I already said this yesterday, and that this feeling that I am forced to do something which I don't want to do, if we have this subjectively, and we have to be very clear and honest with us, that I am doing something unwillingly, it's a sign of this social pressure and not really understood my purpose of why I'm doing this, what I'm doing. So, very important aspect of this and this connection is the definition which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives to faith. We know this definition: Shraddha Shabda Vishvasa Kahi Sudrida Nishchay. So, he says, what is Shraddha? Shraddha means Vishwas. And Vishwas, it's an interesting Sanskrit word. It's coming from the root Shva, which means to breathe. And Vishwas, Visheshwas, means that you are breathing in a certain special way. Like a child. When a child is sitting on the lap of a mother, he has a very calm and deep sort of breathing. So Vishwas means a certain state of mind. We know that mind and breathing is very intimately connected with each other. And if the mind is very calm and peaceful and happy, then you have very deep and very calm breathing. So Vishwas is this state of mind when you are sure, when you are convinced, when you are, when you feel protected, basically. Because that's what is happening with the child on the lap of a mother. He feels completely, thoroughly protected by the mother. So, this sort of experience is the sign of proper Shraddha. When I'm really, I don't feel psychological need to drag anyone down. I'm happy, and I'm peaceful. I'm basically very peaceful. peaceful in a good sense of the word, not just in my comfort zone. So this very word Vishwas has two very significant consequences, so to speak. The first one is that Vishwas means that your faith is based on your own experience. You have this state of mind, being protected or whatever, it means basically you experience it. Whereas Laukika Shraddha is usually based on somebody else's experience. you know, you try. It's a usual understanding, unfortunately, of the people. Usual understanding of what faith means. Faith means that I believe that somebody has the experience. That's the usual understanding. You know, yeah, I believe this. But the word vishwas means that I have the understanding. I'm not satisfied to believe that somebody is some great saint, you know. And if, like yesterday I showed this, four great saints, you know, we believe they had experience. And if I'm satisfied that they had experience, and that's enough argument for me to follow this path, it's not really good. But really, the proper Shraddha, you know, it's, I don't doubt that they have experience, but I'm not satisfied with this. Because very often people say, yeah. They had. What about you? I should have. Very often, devotees, they run on this, this sort of understanding that, you know, somehow or other, you know, I'm doing it. But it's not enough. I must have my own experience. Otherwise, my whole spiritual life is based on somebody else's experience. I just, you know, some authority knows this, and I'm a follower. But follower, if you don't want to be blind follower, you need to have something more substantial than just, you know, by closing your eyes, pretend that you believe in it. It's false. So some sort of internal experience which is giving me conviction is necessary. There is a nice statement of Srila Prabhupada from Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. Listen what he says in this regard. Yes, having some faith in me and in this Krishna consciousness process is the first and only requirement for getting actual wisdom. So, superficially it may look completely contrary to what I said. Prabhupada said, just believe in me and in the process of Krishna consciousness. But Prabhupada continues this. If there is faith, the understanding will follow. And as your understanding increases and deepens, so will your disgust with the spell of illusory energy. In other words, there is a different emphasis. In the societies where this Laukika Shraddha is emphasized, they will emphasize just faith in the authority. Just believe. In the real society of spiritual seekers, there will be emphasis on your own experience. Don't delay it till you die. You will die, there's no doubt about it. But don't put too much faith in this process. Try to get your own experience now, spiritual experience. Not just, you know, sometime later. So that's an important quite subtle difference between the two. And the second one second, I just have to look what is there. I don't remember what was the second one. It was a good one, but I don't remember. Anyway, you got the point. I will figure it out. It's not very organized. I brought many things. Basically, I'm talking about vishwas. Vishwas means you have certain condition of your mind when you feel protected, and the second one is that it's also probably these two actually these two. Yeah, that's what I mean. That you have a that it's that's condition, the trustful condition which is there. Anyway, let's go further to our topic, main topic at hand. Okay. I will read one nice quote from Srila Prabhupada where he says about the difficulties. Prabhupada, yes, difficulties is there always. Even you go to a school, there are so many difficulties. Oh, I remember this. But if you practice with vow and rigidity, you become successful. Difficulties may be there. In every field of our activities, there are some difficulties. You cannot say this world is full of difficulties. So difficulties may be there, but you have to struggle against the difficulties and you will have to adopt the process. Then your difficulties will be over. It is not that because there is a difficulty, I shall refrain from it. No. Adau shraddha tatak sadhu sangha tha bhajana kriye tato nartha. There is a process. And listen how Srila Prabhupada explains the stages, because now we will go stage by stage, and it's sort of introduction to this. Difficulties which we experience on each stage of spiritual development. So Srila Prabhupada says, just like you have come here with some shraddhas, with some faith, or here is Krishna consciousness, let me sit down, let me hear. So this is the description of Shraddha. Let me sit down and let me hear. This is the preliminary stage. If you become little serious, then you come daily and try to understand what is this. This is called Sadhu Sangha. Then gradually, as these boys, they offered themselves, Swamiji, I want to be your regular student, initiate. Third stage. And then he follows the rules and regulations. Gradually, the difficulties are over. Anartha nivriti syat. And then, when the difficulties are over, then he gets faith. Tato nishta. And Srila Prabhupada says that actually you get the real faith only when you reach the level of nishta. So he gave a very nice summary of this beginning stages of devotional service or spiritual development. And as I said yesterday, I tried to analyze the processes which are taking place in each stage of spiritual development, comparing it with the growth of a child. And there are quite solid foundation for this metaphor. I actually did it and literally tried to see what are the similarities between the growth of a child with subsequent growth of his ego, of his self-understanding, with the spiritual growth which is there. And the inspirational quote which kind of gave me this lead is the quote from Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Bhakti Tattva Viveka, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Shraddha is like a little baby girl. He specifically compares this stage, Shraddha. Bhakti at the stage of Shraddha is very delicate, like a newborn baby girl. From the very time of her appearance in a devotee's heart, she has to be very carefully kept in a healthy condition, just as a householder protects his very tender baby daughter from sun, cold, harmful creatures, hunger and thirst. Similarly, the infant-like Shraddha Devi must be protected from all varieties of inauspiciousness. Otherwise, the undesirable association of impersonal knowledge, fruitive activity, mystic yoga, attachment to material objects, dry renunciation, and so forth, will not allow her to gradually blossom into uttama bhakti, and will instead make her grow into a different form. Now, just imagine, you got a nice, cute baby girl, and after some time, she becomes an ugly, just very quickly, she becomes an ugly monster with, with some claws. So that's what may happen with your nice, delicate, baby girl-like Shraddha was in the heart. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gave this sort of comparison, and we know that Shastra, they divide the childhood development into some certain stages. The first stage is Shishutva, and Shishu means basically the stage when you only suck mother's milk, when the first teeth will appear. It's approximately 1 year of human development. So I try to literally compare the stages of development with the stages of spiritual development with the stages of development of a child. So first is babyhood, so to speak. Then the next stage is called how it's called? Kaumara, right? Kaumara, the early childhood. And then, no, not Yavana after Kumara. It's a sahajiya tendency. You can't become a youth after being a little baby. So the next one is Pauganda. And the next after Pauganda is Kaishora. And then Yavana. So these are the stages. And basically, they fit very nicely together into the stages of spiritual development. In this case, Shraddha will be like babyhood, Shishu, when you're a little Shishu. And then Kaumara will be Sadhu Sangha. And then, in this metaphor, so to speak, then Pauganda will be like Bhajana Kriya. And Anartha Nivritti will be like Kaishor. And Nishta will be the use, spiritual use. It's interesting because if we very carefully read the descriptions of Nishta, we will see that Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this in Jaiva Dharma. He says that on the stage of Nishta, for the first time, the devotee really experiences spiritual emotions. In the previous, earlier stages, there are some shadow of emotions, but they're mixed with impure sort of emotions, material emotions, and sometimes people mix, or sometimes people don't understand, don't distinguish between the two. But and we can see that if somebody grows from the childhood to his youth, and if the growth is unimpeded, and he reaches the stage, then it's the youth where one experiences real emotions. Not just selfish emotions. Child also experiences emotions. He's sometimes angry, you know, or he's lusty all the time. I just want this, you know, this chocolate or whatever. Give me this. Or if you don't give, he becomes angry. So this is primitive emotions, as I spoke yesterday a little bit. But the real emotions, more subtle emotions, where one is, you know, serving others, it's coming on the stage of youth, when one enters into much more mature and productive relationship with others, based on the service. So this, and therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says that on the stage of Nishtha, one starts experiencing real spiritual emotions. And these spiritual emotions, he says, there are five spiritual emotions which are available to us on the stage of Nishtha. This is the emotions of Sharanagati, of surrender. I don't think we will reach the stage of Nishtha today, so I'm kind of coming a little ahead in the descriptions. For us to understand how important it is, as much as the first stages of development is the foundational for any healthy human being, to become healthy. In the same way, the first stages of spiritual development are extremely important for a devotee. And if they are not properly gone through, if there are some deficiencies or something wrong, then you may become a grown-up child with some psychological problems. We have Gauri Prabhu with us, and he can testify this because he's a professional psychologist or whatever coming to this. So, and if you have childhood, some trauma in your early childhood, you will carry this trauma throughout your whole life. And if you have some spiritual trauma in your spiritual childhood, you will also be traumatized. You know, and unfortunately we have seen this. Somebody is externally, he's a senior devotee with all the signs of seniority, you know, sometimes danda in the hand and so many other external signs are there. But the childhood trauma is is also there. And he cannot function properly because of this improper deficient sort of processes which were there in his early formative spiritual years. So what I want to say is that early stages, and very often we know this psychological specialty in children. Children sometimes they really want to become grown up very quickly, right? There's just this little guy, you know, and he just dreams about this. And the same thing happens with devotees, you know, because we want to experience Gopi Bhav, right? Yeah. Of course, Gopi Bhav. So, this is exactly the same as a little child wants to experience, to become the, it's called sahajiya, you know, you pretend. What you do to experience Gopi Bhav, you pretend you're already there, right? Simple. Yeah, go. So, what I want to say here is that this early stages, unimpressive as they are, not very, you know, there's nothing bombastic there in these early stages. You're not meditating on your Ekadasha Bhava, and you don't know what kind of sari is there you will wear in the spiritual world. There's nothing really impressive in it. Just, you know, and sometimes it's so boring, you know, this, oh my goodness, this anarthani, oh my goodness. I want, give me Siddha Pranali, the sooner the better. And therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, his favorite saying was, and he was always saying it only in English. He would speak in Bengali, but he would say very clearly in English, first deserve, then desire. Because all these people who have these tendencies, they say, but you know, this, it's just based on desire. I desire, I desire. And he would say sternly, first deserve, then desire. So first, you should grow. It's a gradual process. It's a very natural and beautiful process, and we have to understand how it goes and to give everything which is necessary for the proper growth. And I will try to give a few things which may be important in the beginning. There is a very interesting and nice quote from Bhaktivinoda Thakur from his Bhakti Loka, where he says, according to the degree of faith, each level has different rules. As one leaves behind one level and progresses to the next, he should honor the rules of the latter and leave aside those of the former. Those who do not give up the rules of previous level are bound by those rules like chains and that do not allow him to proceed to the next level. So what I want to say by quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur is that it's very important to understand this dynamic. What is necessary in the beginning? What is necessary in the next stage? What is necessary on the next stage? Like, for example, when we see the child gradually grows, when he is a little child, what kind of association he needs the most? Association with mother, with superiors, right? When he grows a little bit, like 5 years old, when he becomes Pauganda, what is the most prominent association which he has at this point? For his spiritual, for his growth of his ego. With equals, with peers, right? If he remains only with the mother, will he grow properly? No, he will not. He needs this sort of association. And then when he grows a little bit more, when he reaches his Kaishora age, after in Komara stage, he needs association with seniors. In Pauganda stage, he needs association with equals. And in his Kaishora stage, he needs association with whom? To grow... This is the word of wisdom from the mouth of professional psychologist. Thank you. You opened our eyes. Girls, yes, but... But also, you know, it's very important at this Kaishora age to take responsibility for our juniors. In the big families, in healthy big families where the ego is properly formed, it's very necessary that at certain stage you take responsibility to help those who are junior to you. So we all know that this three kinds of association is necessary for our spiritual growth several times, many times actually. I think at least five or six times in Srimad Bhagavatam there is this statement that you need three kinds of association. But according to the stage of your spiritual development, the need may differ. So to speak. In the beginning, the most emphasis is on what? In the association with? Yeah, with those who are superior, those who have more experience in bhakti. It's very important. And, you know, sometimes in certain sections of our society, there is such a vehement emphasis on, you know, you have to preach. You can preach. You can preach from the day one, and you preach and you preach and you preach. And basically, the implication is that you don't need superior association. You can do it yourself. Just, you know, can you imagine what will happen with a small child, which, you know, will be left on his own, and he will start preaching or whatever. So it's not so healthy. In the beginning, you have to be properly taken care of by superiors. But then at one point, this peer association is very important when you do it on a stage of on the stage of Sadhu Sangha, this association with those who are senior is very important. On the stage of Bhajana Kriya, the association with the equals, with the peers, becomes very important for our spiritual growth. And if you don't do this, if you don't develop this proper association, you will be stunted in your progress. And then when you reach anartha nivritti, it's crucially important to take care of those who are, junior to you, to help them, to become the counselor. It's very important for your own spiritual development. At one point of your spiritual growth, to start taking care and helping others. If you don't do this, again, you will stuck on a certain level. That's exactly what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that, you know, you have to know the rules of each stage. And if you know it properly, then you follow from one stage to another stage to another stage, and your progress will be smooth. If you don't do this, and if you stick to some other lower, the rules of a lower stage, then you will not progress. It's just to give a little, you know, example what could be derived from this sort of understanding or this sort of metaphor. So, I may say a little more when I come to a particular stage about this. But again, progression, it's interesting. As I said, and this is actually the statement of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you can fully experience the emotions of Sharanagati, of surrender, on the stage of Nishtha. And he specifically treats Sharanagati in these terms. He says it's an emotional state. You surrender, you have complete trust, Krishna will protect me, Krishna will maintain me, Krishna, I will follow whatever he says. I have this pratigya, and this solemn determination to follow what he wants. And then you feel very humble, and you feel giving yourself completely to the Lord. So this is the emotions of Sharanagati. But we can see that this Sharanagati is gradually being developed over the previous stages. Like in the beginning, when you are in the very beginning of I think it's interesting. We have these three pairs of Sharanagati. Somebody remembers how it's Sharanagati verse goes? Anukulyasya sankalpah, pratikulyasya varjanam, rakshishyatiti vishvaso, goptritve varanam tatha, atmanikshepa karpanye, sadvitha Sharanagati. So it's interesting if we again very carefully analyze this particular, you know, Shraddha is a very preliminary stage, but, you know, this very clearly three pairs of Sharanagati are being described according to the stages of spiritual development. Like in the beginning, we try to follow what is favorable and try to avoid what is unfavorable, and that's what is available to us. And in this way, we sanctify or purify our mind. Because what are the two functions of the mind? Manas, sankalpa and vikalpa. I accept and reject. And in the beginning, you have to really understand what you should accept and what you should reject. Not according to your whims, not according to your karma, but according to the desire and will of Krishna. So in this way, you sanctify or purify your mind. Then comes Rakshishyatiti Vishvasogop Tritve Varanam Tatha, this feeling of protection and maintenance by the Lord. And in this way, you purify your buddhi. And then the last stage, Atmanikshepa Karpanye, you purify what? Your ahankar. Atmanikshepa, you are karpanye, you are very humble. There is no ahankar. I belong to God. So again, if we analyze this clearly, we can see what should be the emphasis on each stage of spiritual development. In the beginning, if you start saying, you know, become humble, 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 it's good to say, but I don't think you will be able to become humble, really. There are certain things which is good to think, and what the most important thing which I want to present to your attention is this crisis. And as I said, the very word crisis is coming from a Greek word which means turning point. It literally means the response. What it means, in the course of my development, I will have to respond to a certain challenge which is there. I have to change something in my behavior. Something will have to appear in myself. So this turning point, it's important. If we see the growth of spiritual growth of a person, we can see the same sort of dynamic which is there in the growth of a little child into grown-up man, that the crises of identity crises. I mentioned yesterday this psychology which is there, but they're very, very similar crises are there. And of course, the very vivid description of this identity crisis is where? In our scriptures. Yeah, in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It's a typical and a very detailed description of identity crisis of Arjuna. Because he doesn't know who he is, and Krishna is saying about some spiritual identity. The spiritual identity is not there, and he's trying to hold on his material identity, and it's basically being demolished right there, and he feels it. So this identity crises are there on every stage. And I'll try to say a few words about this. And maybe I should give a review in the beginning. I will go into Shraddha and the rest. I will have to go very quickly because we don't have so much time, I will not go into details. But as I said yesterday, and I want to repeat it again today, if you overcome the crisis, then some new ability will appear within yourself, as much as when the little child, when he grows, if he overcomes the crisis, he becomes more capable. And most important, he becomes more integrated in the society of devotees. Whereas if you fail to overcome this critical point properly, you become alienated, you become estranged from the society of devotees, you become you still go on the next stage of your development, but the problem is still there. And you carry on this problem in your spiritual life, and it will sooner or later create some severe consequences in your spiritual life. So therefore we have to know what's going on in each stage of our spiritual development. So we start with Shraddha, with faith, and it's simple. It's kind of innocent in the beginning. What is interesting, what is the word Shraddha means from Sanskrit? It's coming from krad or krid dha. Literally it means, krid means like krid or heart. You put your heart into something. Shraddha means this process when you put your heart into something, invest your heart, so to speak. That's what faith is. You're investing your heart into something. And it has, this word Shraddha has a very strong connotation in Sanskrit usage of respect, basically respect, worship, and it also means very strong desire, Shraddha. So basically, what is Shraddha? Shraddha is understanding. You meet with the devotees, and you have some Bhaktiun Mukhi Sukriti, you have some Sukriti, or maybe you don't have some Sukriti. As Prabhupada said, I made all your Sukriti. Don't think that you had some Sukriti. You meet with a devotee, and you kind of develop some respect. Shraddha doesn't mean much. It only means, and Prabhupada, he explains this. This appreciation is called Shraddha, Shraddhanasya. Even he does not join. If one says, oh, it is very nice, it is very, these people are good. Sometimes they, in papers, they say, these Hare Krishna people are nice. We want more of them. That's what they say. That's called Shraddha. Basically, if you have little appreciation, this little appreciation toward the devotee, you meet with a devotee, you don't have much, of understanding who he is, and you don't know why he has some strange mark on the forehead, and, but he kind of nice fellow, jumping high, And what Prabhupada says, very important, if one feels this within the heart, Prabhupada says, so this appreciation is also a lift for such a person. If somebody develops nice feeling, sympathy, it's a lift for him. It's, he went to a very significant stage of his spiritual development, first stage. He entered Shraddha. It's a lift for him. And Prabhupada specifically says, just like small children, a baby, he's also appreciating, trying to stand up with his symbol, appreciating. So what the small child can do? Can he do something substantial? No, but what he can do? He can appreciate. This appreciation is the most important thing. And basically, what is important, this appreciation is always personal. It's always directed towards a particular person, so much so that there is a dialogue or conversation of Prabhupada. Guru Das is asking, what is that Shraddha? And Prabhupada says, Shraddha means the faith in spiritual master. So you meet somebody, you don't accept him as a spiritual master, but you kind of feel he's a nice guy. I have one devotee friend, acquainted. He developed his Shraddha because he saw Prabhupada's picture. He didn't read anything, but he saw picture and he said, oh, phew, such a person lives somewhere far out. That was the b- birth of his faith, of his Shraddha. Some sort of appreciation, something struck you in the beginning. You don't know anything about Shastra, you don't know much about this thing, but if you somehow or other, by some good luck, Yadrichaya, developed appreciation for a right person, then you're very lucky. Your appreciation is the first stage of your development. It's simple, the first stage of your development. And what is most important in the relationship between the baby and the mother or father, what is most important? The baby can do much. He can only appreciate. He can sometimes smile. Yeah, smile. And there's some bubble is there. And he smiles. And the mother, when she sees the smile of a baby, she is completely transported into spiritual realm, you know. Oh. So what is the most important? The most important is this mood or this bhava of acceptance from the mother. Complete, total, unquestioning acceptance. If the child feels that he is accepted, that's all he needs. If the mother starts a little baby, he doesn't understand anything. Only thing which he can do is just to give some bubbles and sometimes smile, you know, and make a mess, you know, and pass stool, you know. That's the level of expertise which he has in this age. But if the mother starts chastising him in this age, what will happen? He will be traumatized. He will develop a very negative attitude towards mother. So at this stage, what is the most important is that one has to feel that I'm accepted. This bhav, this feeling which should come from a devotee, is extremely important. Prabhupada beautifully describes this in his relationship with his spiritual master. He explains how he met with Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, and he says, "So I shall make him my disciple." He quotes Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. These very words he say. Actually, I did not follow him in the beginning. Follow him in the beginning, Prabhupada means I didn't understand what he says. I couldn't understand anything. High philosophical speaking, and I was a very new boy. I could not follow him. But actually, I was so much glad to hear him. So Prabhupada was sitting and smiling. He couldn't understand much what's going on. That's at least what he says. That's all. So that was my qualification. Whatever you may say. What you say whatever you like. But like a little child, he feels this mood of acceptance. I'm accepted. I'm nice. And he says, then my spiritual master said, I will make him my disciple. So he's good. He's good. So that's what it is. And basically what should form in this stage of spiritual development is little trust to Vaishnavas. But very important thing is the crisis on this stage. What is the crisis of this stage? It's actually the crisis. First I'll read a very beautiful description of this stage by Bhaktivinod Thakur. Beautiful description. After becoming entangled in the ocean of material existence, the living entity becomes absorbed in various types of external activities and therefore attacked by a disease called forgetfulness of Krishna. Within the jiva, suffering from the severe miseries caused by this disease arises a desire to be delivered from the ocean of material existence, nations. At that time, within his mind, he condemns himself, thinking, "Alas, how unfortunate I am. Having fallen into this unsurmountable ocean of material existence, I am being thrown here and there by the violent waves of my wicked desires. At different times, I am being attacked by the crocodiles of lust, anger, and so forth. I cry helplessly at my miserable condition, but I don't see any hope for my survival. What shall I do? Do I not have any well-wisher? Is there any possible way I can be rescued? Alas, what to do? How I will be delivered? I don't see any solution. Seeing the jiva in this condition, the most compassionate Sri Krishna then mercifully implants the seed of a creeper of devotion, Bhakti Lata Bija, within his heart. This seed is known as Shraddha, faith, and it contains within the undeveloped manifestation of Bhava, the sprout of divine love of Bhagavan. In other words, initially this kind of frustration in material life should be there. And as a response to this frustration, Krishna gives this Shraddha, this faith, and as I said, there is a certain crisis on this stage. And the crisis, the reason for this crisis is that how it's developed, you develop some initial attraction to a certain person. And you develop some initial trust in him. But your trust is may not be completely properly formed, so to speak. And then you try to idealize this person, or you try to ascribe to this person some certain qualities which he doesn't have in reality. This is actually the crisis of trust. The crisis of trust is that usually when we meet with our spiritual master, we have completely unrealistic understanding of who he is. It's a characteristic of faith, of initial faith, because we don't have, we get some little spark of trust within our heart. But then to increase this spark of trust, we have to ascribe to him some, he's so miraculous and he's so amazing and he's this and that. And if you remain in this, like a little child, the little child thinks that his mother is all-powerful. Right? She's all-powerful. And father is definitely all-powerful. So the little spiritual baby, he looks in the spiritual master and he says, oh yeah, he's the most advanced mystic I have ever seen. Have you met such devotees who kind of looking for this mystical opulence in their spiritual guides? There are very interesting things which illustrate this. There is a story from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's life. Impressed with Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's personality and presentation of Siddhanta, in 1916, an educated and renowned young man came to join him at the yoga pit and started performing intense bhajana. But upon noting that Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati spent considerable time in keeping careful records of the accounts, that young man harshly criticized him and left to seek another sadhu. There was this story as Prabhupada was sitting with Garga Muni and one hippie girl came to see him, and Prabhupada was going through the records, half a nickel here and, $1 here and this and that. And this girl, she was looking for a spiritual master. And she was sitting and sitting and sitting and sitting. And Prabhupada was going this penny after penny, asking. And ultimately she became so agitated. She got up and she raised her hands and she started yelling, I came here to find the truth. I came here to find God. She started hearing. Prabhupada calmly looked at her and said, sit down. You came to the right place. Just sit down. So This sort of understanding is the crisis, because sometimes people, they have to psychologically have to ascribe to their spiritual master something which is not there. And they're trying to look, to find some confirmation in their spiritual master. And there is another interesting episode in this regard. And the spiritual master, actually the job of a spiritual master is to make, not to try, the mistake which can be there is kind of hint, yes, you are right, I am like this. And I've seen it. Many times I've seen it in my career, that instead of trying to help the devotee to make his face real, into the real thing, you kind of, you know, approve this sort of attitude. Yes, yes, I am the greatest mystic. Yeah, of course. So, there is a very interesting episode from Prabhupada's life, how he dealt with this. Pushta Krishna describes this. During that meeting with Srila Prabhupada, I spoke with him alone and revealed some things that were in my mind and in my heart. I said to Srila Prabhupada, Krishna revealed himself to me, and that's why I come to you. He said, now you must tell... Prabhupada said, now you must tell them that God is not dead. I said, Srila Prabhupada, you are the only person I trust in this world. Srila Prabhupada looked at me very kindly and said, don't trust me. I will let you down. Trust Krishna. He will never let you down. So immediately Prabhupada said, he noticed this unrealistic sort of thing, which is there in our attitude towards spiritual master. He's almighty. He will always be there, you know, and he will save me from all conditions. No, you know, this sort of unrealistic thing, if we carry it on in further stages of spiritual development, it's a time bomb. At one point we will see that he's dealing with the records and, you know, with the bookkeeping. And we will say what kind of sadhu he is and start criticizing him or whatever. Why? Not because he is wrong, because our understanding is not really correct and or properly formed, so to speak. And anyway, I have some other episodes here, but it's interesting how Prabhupada expertly dealt with this. The point is that if you want to go to this next stage of spiritual development, you have to develop more realistic attitude towards the spiritual master. And actually, and this junction between Shraddha and Sadhu Sangha is that when you really become little more committed, Shraddha means just nice guy, but if you really feel that... when you feel that this particular person is the spiritual master whom you can trust, and if this trust is properly formed, then you go to the next stage of Sadhu Sangha. I'll tell little episodes. Shyamasundar Prabhu says that, you know, Prabhupada, he came to the place they were living with Malati, and they had a dog. And they were very attached to the dog. And he also was smoking cigarettes at that time. And Prabhupada came to his place. And Prabhupada, first he petted the dog. He said, nice dog, very nice dog. He doesn't say, these dogs are, you know, dirty and, you know. He kind of came down to the level of attachment of Shyamasundar Prabhu. But then he came to the pack of cigarettes and he, with his cane, he just threw it down and said, don't smoke cigarettes. And because, and Shyamasundar says himself that because he liked my dog, I was ready to give up cigarettes. and then he specifically says, he laughs and he says, Anyway, whatever it is. It's a different story, but yeah, he specifically says that Prabhupada was very expert in dragging us into this Krishna consciousness movement. So he developed some trust in him through this relationship. Anyway, so Sadhu Sangha, it's simple. I will say just a few words. I don't think, I have to actually finish now. But is it okay if I say a few more words? Srila Radhanath Maharaj would ask at this point, would you like to hear more? But, I will not, anyway. Anyway, so this Sadhu Sangha is actually when you kind of decided within yourself. On a level of Shraddha, you're not decided, you just have some appreciation. But on a level of Sadhu Sangha, you decide that this particular person will become my spiritual master. And you more consistently start hearing from him. As Prabhupada said in the quote which we read, you know, in the beginning you have just appreciation, and the next stage, Sadhu Sangha, you start coming regularly. And you start listening. The same person, you particularly, you developed little interest, more precise and more concrete interest towards a spiritual discipline. But, and the crisis on this stage is a very important crisis. That at one point you already mentally sort of accepted this particular person as your spiritual master, but at the same time you do not want to give up your independence, and this internal conflict between the desire to surrender to a particular person or to accept a particular person as a spiritual master and unwillingness to really surrender, to really follow his order, is the next the next crisis which is there. I recently had a very interesting story. It's not a story, it's a letter which I received. And the girl is writing in this letter that I had a relationship with one boy, and he became a devotee. And because I valued relationship with him so much, I also became a devotee. It's not that she had some inner inclination to become a devotee, but because of him, and she started following this. But then she writes very sincerely, she says, but for me, Krishna consciousness is like a prison house. When I think that I have to follow, and Krishna is the, sometimes I like Krishna, but most of the time I hate him because he is the supervisor of this prison. He forces me to follow all these rules, you know. She, you know, and there is this internal conflict. She doesn't want to relinquish her own independence, independent will. And she understands that if she wants to go further, she has to do it. And there is this, you know, turmoil within herself on this stage. Basically, this is the stage of in the childhood development, in the development of a child. It's called the autonomy crisis of your autonomy. In a spiritual development, it has a different shades, and it's slightly differently done. But basically, you have to really sincerely within the heart accept the authority of spiritual master. Then only you go to this next stage, which is bhajana kriya, where you commit yourself. This is again this junction point between the sadhu sangha and bhajana kriya. And there are beautiful stories about this from Prabhupada's life. Again, I will tell this last story and then I will finish my class. This last story is, there was another devotee of Srila Prabhupada, another disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Rabindra Swarup. Not the Rabindra Swarup which we know, but another boy. And somebody describes the episode from Prabhupada's life. There was a kirtan in the temple room in the early days. And all of a sudden, this boy started crying. There was not kirtan. It was just, I think it was lecture or something like this. The boy started crying and he started sobbing. And he started saying very loudly, I want to find God, I want to find God, but I have to do it myself. I have to do it myself. I cannot go through somebody else. And Prabhupada, he kind of waved his hand and he liked this boy. He was an intelligent boy. He put his head in his lap and he started petting him and saying, and the boy was sobbing and crying and he said, I have to do it myself. I have to do it myself. I have to do it myself. And then after a few minutes, he just stood up and left, never to be seen. And everyone was kind of shocked, you know, what happened? That's exactly what happened. You know, this is the crisis. You are in this junction. Do you really want to trust somebody to such an extent that you surrender a significant part of your independence to this person, or you don't want to do it? And again, if you overcome this crisis in a proper way, then you're on the next stage of development. If you don't, if you kind of pretend, sometimes people, you know, like taking initiations basically means I will follow you. But many times people take initiation and then they say, yeah, right. Yeah, let's see how it goes. So I'm telling for these two gentlemen who are taking initiations right now. So they don't really want to follow. And this desire, independent desire, is still there and still very valuable. Then the crisis is not overcome, and externally they are on the next stage of development, bhajana kriya. But the problems are there, and sooner or later they will surface. So therefore, it's an important point. I will stop here. I will not go any further. I need to keep some intrigue for the next stages, but I'm very grateful to all of you for listening to this. I wanted to share something which I discovered myself by studying this sort of topic. Thank you very much.
His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Maharaj Ki.